today. We're going to pray the prayer of Saint Francis of Assisi. So we're going to all recite the same prayer. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is any injury, pardon. When there is doubt, faith. When there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning, everyone. I may not sound very good, but I'm okay. Yesterday was so-called the anniversary of the end of the Pacific War. But instead of calling it the end of the Pacific War, I want to call it as Japan's anniversary of the Japan's defeat in the Pacific War, because that's the day that Japan acknowledged the defeat in the Pacific War. And I want you to understand that the war is something that happens naturally. It's not like the war sometimes somehow started naturally and ended naturally. The war is something that somebody begins. Unless somebody makes a decision to start it, it doesn't start. 3.1 million Japanese people died in the war. And if you include all the victims in Korea, China, and other southeastern countries, there are 20 million victims who died. So that many people died, and there are so many destruction. We need to learn from this loss of life and the destruction. This is something we cannot forget. It's not the end of the war, and it was not a natural end either. Japan started the war, and Japan got defeated in the war. So I'm going to call this a worship service for commemorating Japan's defeat in the Pacific War. What a depressing subject, my wife said when we were talking with each other this morning. When the emperor made the remark to end the war, how many people do you think that they thought that this is the end of the war, or it was not just the end of the war, it was a defeat in the war. So we cannot forget August 15th. I think this is the day we need to mourn so that we will never again repeat the same mistake. We need to make a resolution that we will never wage a war again. Several weeks ago, I watched a TV program in which Yoshinaga Sayuri, a famous actress in Japan, is she said that Japan should continue to be in the so-called post-war period so that people will not forget about the war. Because we will not forget the fact that we started the war and got defeated in the war. But it is getting forgotten more and more by people in Japan. Now, 83% of all Japanese people are born after the end of World War II. So only 27% were born before the end of World War II. So we have now four generations in Japan. First generation, those who directly experienced the war, and second generation, the people whose parents experienced the war, and third generation, people whose grandparents experienced the war, and fourth generation, people whose grandparents are born after the war. So now there are more and more people who have no experience of getting stories about the war from their family members. So that's the day we cannot forget. So we need to relay the memories of the war from our generation to the next generation. This cannot be forgotten. We need to continue to stay in the so-called post-war period in that sense, so that we'll never forget what happened. That's the day we cannot forget. If we forget the fact that we engaged in the tragic war, we will be in a very risky situation. If you look at the direction of this country, I feel a risk in Japan. There are groups of people in Japan who want to be ready to have another war. In spite of the fact Japan made a resolution to be a pacifist country, the politicians are trying to make Japan into a country where it is possible for Japan to engage in a war. They're trying to change the interpretation of the Constitution, for example. And many people now started saying that if we just engage in a defensive security policy, we cannot protect the country, so we should be allowed to attack an enemy. So the idea is we need to attack the enemy before we get attacked. So they want to make it possible for Japan to have aggressive security policy. I cannot believe that they are thinking about that. There is no way that we can have such a policy and try to, in order to protect Japan. And they're going to use the word positive peace to justify that. But that's, if you do that in the name of positivity, that's a sneak attack, and Japan will be considered a very cowardly country. So we should not be confused about, we should not be deceived into to agreeing to their ideas. The political party that are in charge of current administration wants to make it possible. So if we take this road, and if we engage in another war, and that one day our children, our grandchildren will ask, you know, grandparents, why did you stop, were you not able to stop the war? Now, 75 years after the end of the Pacific War, we will be asked, you know, what we are doing today. I read the Bible as I was preparing for this service, and I read many parts of the Bible. And this is the part I think is very, very important. Matthew chapter 26, from verses 47 to 52. If you have the Bible, please open Matthew chapter 26, verses 47 through 52. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd, armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached out for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him. "For all who draw the sword will die by the sword." What a dramatic story that was recorded. Judas had betrayed Jesus by kissing him. And some tried to arrest him. And one of the Jesus' companions, this is Peter, drew the sword out and cut this man's ear. And then Jesus said, "Put your sword back in its place. For all who draw the sword will die by the sword." We want to remember this. Very, very important verse. If Jesus had not stopped Peter from doing this, there would have been a fight between these people. But there was a more important purpose. And Jesus said, "And this has all taken place, that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." So he said, the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled. So that's one reason that he said, Jesus said, it happened. So what are the prophecies that were fulfilled? If you look at Isaiah chapter 53:5. "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." So our Messiah was pierced, and he had to be killed so that we will be saved. And Jesus knew this purpose, and this was the time that has arrived for Jesus. So Jesus knew that, so he did not resist, and he got arrested. There was another prophecy that had to be fulfilled in this process. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. "He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. And they will beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. So he's talking about the end time, and when God's reign is completely established, so when this happens, so this is a prophecy about the time when God's reign is completely established on earth. Then his will be completely executed everywhere. So when that happens, the people will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. This is God's will. For this prophecy to be fulfilled, swords and spears are not necessary. They are no good. Swords and bombs are not appropriate for God's purpose. Jesus said, "Put up your sword, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword." What is a war? The wars can be defined in different ways. But I looked at a cultural anthropological dictionary. According to this dictionary, this is how it is defined. Human discords include plundering, slaughter, dispute, and wars. A war is an organized, armed conflict between different groups that are politically unified. The main characteristic of war is that it is organized. Thus, waging wars is a social act. Armed conflict in wars rely on the assumption that groups' norm exists that accept commands and obedience. So there is a person who gives orders, and there are people who follow the law, orders, and that's a war. And it is true. Policymakers declare war, and then wars begin. Somebody has to say, start bombing, and then the bombs will be dropped. So it starts with an order, and then you kill people. So war is not something that happens naturally. It is a social act. It is something that people create. War is something human beings start with organization, and then try to kill each other. How efficiently they kill each other. How quickly they can kill the enemy. It's meditated murder. That's what war is about. So it's not just... it's a social act. The war is also a political act as well. Because the policymakers, represented by the cabinet, starts a war. And to try to win a war, the political power holders will use their political power. For example, the cabinet can prepare for a war, but it can hide the fact that it is preparing for war with state secrecy laws. And they can start an anti-enemy advertising campaign saying bad things about the enemy. And they will start saying that war is necessary. So the policymakers will start to control information. And then power holders will try to silence the opponents. They will prohibit assembly of anti-war people. They will prohibit the publication of anti-war books. Otherwise, they cannot execute war. And even if people still resist, they will arrest them. And sometimes they may kill them. They will kill the freedom of expression. And also, in order to suppress anti-war activities, the government will ask people to report their neighbors and groups' activities to the police and monitor each other. In other words, the government will destroy the free and safe and happy daily life, and they will fill society with suspicion and fear. And the war requires an incredible amount of money. And they will start a new tax system so that they can raise more money. They may ask temples and churches to cooperate for the war effort. And the war needs soldiers. And they will say to young people, rise up for the nation, for your own country. So they may not enough soldiers, so they have to start a draft system. And even if 100 people died or 10,000 people die, they will say it is necessary to win the war. And then the Minister of Defense will say dead soldiers are honorable war dead. And this is not a lie that I'm telling you. This is not something that I'm making up. I'm not exaggerating anything. This is what happened 90 years ago until 70 years ago for those 15 years. This is actually what happened in Japan. We had a cabinet like that. So war is an organized armed conflict between groups that are politically unified. It's a social act, and the wars will produce destruction and tragedies, and wars will deprive us of freedom and our daily lives and our right to life. It will take everything away from us. We knew that's what happened 75 years ago. There have been TV programs about that. It was... we should not forget what happened during the war. Will you take a look at this photo on the screen? A person named Hasegawa Shin. He was born in 1922 in Aizu Wakamatsu in Fukushima. In 1942... He went to Meiji Gakuen University. It's an old photo. He can see how he's a handsome man. I've never met this man. Probably, but just like our young people in our church. You know, a man with many talents and a great man with lots of things to look forward to in the future. But the war, the Pacific War, changed everything about him. He joined the army in 1943. He became an army sub-lieutenant. He took his life seriously, and he worried and anguished during in the army. And this is what he wrote in his diary. On April 26th, 1944, I feel despair today in humanities. Today's human beings are so far away from what God wants them to do. Human brutality is rooted in today's humanity. I think about that every day. People have not made any progress, It's not, this war has no justification, but it's based on hatred between different nations. They were going to keep on fighting until they destroy each other completely. It is horrible. The human race is terrible. It just, human race may be another relative of monkeys. That's what he wrote in his diary. He had despair in what was happening in Japan in his role in the army. And he died on April 12th, 1945. He was only 23 years old. He died in a war that he saw no justification for. It was tragic. It's heart-wrenching. It was a very short life he had. The war takes away people's daily lives, people's hope. You know, there is a magazine called National Geographic. You know, that magazine has lots of photos. I read the June edition of this year. That it titled was 75 Years Since the End of World War II. And it wrote, the subtitle was, Every Person Who Experienced Says the War is Hell. This is no exaggeration. War is hell. Today's war can be even worse. Today's war is not just based on machine guns. You're going to have nuclear bombs. How can you stop that? That could be sent by missile very quickly. If Japan engages another war, that's what is going to happen. The entire Japan will be like Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And then there is no way but to experience the hell when a war begins. War is a social act, meaning the human beings create. If we can create a war, then we have a choice not to create one, too. If nations' political leaders decide not to have war, then that's what we need. That's what we all knew we need. You know, Malala Yousafzai in Afghanistan, who won the Nobel Peace Prize, said, "How come the countries that are powerful have the power to start a war, but they are such so weak when in terms of their power to make peace? Why is it so easy to give guns to people, but it's so difficult to give books to people? Why it is easy for many countries to create tanks, but it's so difficult to build schools? So instead of making machine guns and tanks, we can make books. Instead of making nuclear bombs, we should build schools. Instead of killing each other, it'll be better for us to help each other. It is better to produce than to destruct. War is a social act. We can make a choice. So we need to resolve that we're not going to engage in war. We're not going to create hell as our choice. We need to make that resolution. In fact, Japanese people who experienced hell 75 years ago, they made a resolution that we will never again engage in war. And that resolution is reflected in the Japanese Constitution. When Japan admitted to defeat, they made a declaration in the Constitution. Let's look at the preamble of the Japanese Constitution. "We, the Japanese people, acting through our duly elected representative in the National Diet, determine that we shall secure for ourselves and our prosperity the fruits of peaceful cooperation with all nations and the blessings of liberty throughout this land, and resolved that never again shall we be visited with the horrors of war through the action of government. Do proclaim the sovereign power resides with the people. Do firmly establish this constitution. Government is a sacred trust of the people, authority of which is derived from the people, and the powers of which are exercised by the representatives of the people, and the benefits of which are enjoyed by the people. This is a universal principle of mankind upon which this constitution is founded. We reject and revoke all constitutions, laws, ordinances, and rescripts in conflict herewith. We, the Japanese people, desire peace for all time and are deeply conscious of the high ideals controlling human relationship. And we have determined to preserve our security and existence, trusting in the justice and faith of the peace-loving peoples of the world. We desire to occupy an honored place in international society, striving for the preservation of peace and the banishment of tyranny and slavery, oppression and intolerance for all time from the earth. We recognize that all peoples of the world have the right to live in peace, free from fear and want. We believe that no nation is responsible to itself alone, but laws of political morality are universal, and that obedience to such laws is incumbent upon all nations who would sustain their own sovereignty and justify their sovereign relationship with other nations. We, the Japanese people, pledge our national honor to accomplish these high ideals and purposes with all our resources. What an incredible ideals and spirit in the Constitution. I love this preamble of the Constitution. It's similar to what Jesus said, all who draw the sword will die by the sword. And based on this, on these ideals, the Article 9 of the Constitution is written, which says, it's very clear, aspiring sincerely to an international peace based on justice and order, the Japanese people will forever renounce war as a sovereign right of the nation and the threat or use of force as a means of settling international disputes. In order to accomplish the aim of the preceding paragraph, land and sea and air forces, as well as other war potential, will never be maintained. The right of belligerency of the state will not be recognized. So, the Constitution says we will use diplomacy to create peace. And this is the resolution of the Japanese people. The Japanese people who experienced the war and the hell associated with it made the resolution. Of course, there are civil wars, and wars between nations are taking place in the world. Right now, there are 46 disputes or small wars going on in the world. In fact, we need to forgive each other instead of hating each other. We need to love each other instead of thinking of each other as enemies. We need to remember what Jesus Christ said. We need to achieve the dream that we Christians have. This is the 75th anniversary of the defeat in the Pacific War. I'm going to pray that is shown on the screen. And if you agree with me, just say Amen. Our peaceful God, you sent Jesus Christ, our Savior, to this world, and you destroyed all the walls that creates hatred between people. Please take away our arrogance and a sense of hatred between people, between nations, between countries. Please take away all of our prejudice. Please fill us, our hearts, with the kind love that you gave us, that you showed through the cross. Please give us hope. Please make us trust in you. These political leaders are entrusted authority, and we hope that they will fear you. And they will create justice and fairness, and please lead them so that we will never again start a war. Our God, who have eternal hope, please give our leaders in the world our ideals so that they can create peace going beyond political conflicts and economic conflicts. Please make them conveyors of peace and blessings. We look seriously at the past that we experienced so that we will never again repeat the same mistake. We make a resolution that we will never again hurt other peoples. Please use us. Please make this country an instrument of peace. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.